Good morning.
Good to see everyone here this morning. We are reminded by the Lord that we're not to take anything for granted. We are to take everything as a good and perfect gift from Him, who there is no variables from shadow of turning. He reminds us that what we have is a wonderful gift and a blessing that we were able to assemble this morning. We weren't able to meet last night. The weather kept us from it. The Lord answered our prayer this morning that He would let the water recede enough that we'd be able to get out here. I'm glad. We're thankful. We're at Squaw Creek. Welcome you to the 2026 camp meeting. This is a wonderful time to look into the faces of believers as come seeking to feed from the hand of the Lord. If we get fed this weekend from spiritual blessings, make sure you turn and you give thanks. As that one leper out of the 10 turned back to give thanks to the one who healed him. That's our plight this morning. Our arrangements this morning is that Elder Steve Woods from the Arcoma Church there in right outside of Fort Smith. If you've never been to Arcoma, go to Arcoma. I think their meeting's in September. Wonderful Salem Church, or the Salem Association Church. We're going to ask him to go first this morning. Pray for Brother Steve that the Lord will pour out a blessing upon him that he can't contain, and he'll have to give it to us. That's how it has to happen. Lord, give it to him. Him give it to us, and us receive it from the Lord. And don't forget to return the glory back to the Lord. Second, after him, we're going to ask Elder Gary Rose from Fuller Chapel Church in Arkansas. We're going to ask him to go second. Brother Gary is an old-time Texas boy, but he's relocated to Arkansas. And we hear good things coming in from Brother Gary. We listen to you quite a bit on that. We've heard your preaching. I know, though, he needs a fresh supply of grace. He needs it right now this morning. You need grace when you need grace. And Brother Gary needs grace right now. But the grace he needs to preach is the grace you need to hear. So you've got a vested interest in praying hard this morning that the Lord would bless him, that you be blessed, and that the Lord be worshipped. Our objective for this meeting, let me read something just to set your mind upon this. In the 1 Corinthian letter, the 2nd chapter, the apostle said, "I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or with wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." That is a huge subject, brethren. Mm-hmm. Now go. Y'all preach that. And y'all hear that. It's nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now that extends. It's far beyond that cross. The 6 hours that He spent on the cross was just a small portion of that subject. Because we got to go all the way back to before the world began. And we can go all the way down to God says, time be no more. And it's all included, Brother David, into Christ and Him crucified. That's our objective, friends, this morning, is that we beg God to show us His glory in the church. Show us His wisdom that He would share with us. And most of all, my friends, beg Him to deliver that promise that I'll ask of my Father and He'll send another comforter. The Holy Ghost is what we need in the church. I want to ask Brother Elder Philip Connolly, pastor of one of our camp meeting churches, the Bethel Church, ask him to come and word our prayer.
Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we pause to give you thanks, dear Lord. Thanks for blessings both seen and unseen. And we're thankful, dear Lord, that thou provided a way this morning for us to be in my house. And as thou hast cleared out the natural floods to allow us to be in thy house to worship thee. We pray that thou would take this congregation waiting upon thee, and whatever the flood is in their mind and their spirit, that thou would drive that out this morning, dear Lord. That the waters would recede, that our mind and our sight be solely fixed upon thee and upon thy Son. We thank you, dear Lord, for this time that we have, this time that's been set aside, that has been a milestone in our lives for so many years, to come out in this capacity to worship thee and spirit and the truth, but not just our immediate brethren, but those who love and different parts of the country, that no matter where somebody is from, dear Lord, we come with one band, one accord, one union, to center our minds in one thought, one spirit on thee. Bless our unity this morning, dear Lord, to be fit, to just be centered upon thy word and thy work that was done for us. And we ask, dear Lord, if you go forward in this particular service, thou bless these two men, these two thy servants, my brothers, that you know very dearly. Bless them to be relieved from themselves. Bless them to have their selves put on the side, that they would be able to stand upon the wall and proclaim, crying to us those things, both new and old, that are needed for this occasion. We thank you for thy gospel, dear Lord. We thank you for what it does in our lives, the hope and the assurance that it gives, the comfort that it brings, for the sad that it is for a broken, wounded heart. We ask, dear Lord, to take all the questions this day, all the doubts and all the sorrows, whatever they may be, and bless us all to be lifted up in one accord and sit together with thee for a little while. And ask you, dear Lord, to also be pleased to dwell with us throughout this weekend, throughout this series of services, that we may go on our way rejoicing, saying that we will want us to come to be with thee and with thy people. We thank you, dear Lord, again for thy Son, for his work and what he's done, and that name above all names, the only hope and only trust that we have, we pray his name for his sake. Amen.
Concerning the remarks that Brother Bill made of an introductory nature, he spoke about everything that we got coming from God. It reminded me of that old Sarah Adams song, Nearer My God to Thee, where I think it's the third verse. It says, all that thou sendest me in mercy given. Now, the first time I heard that expression, everything you've given me was in mercy, was from the Darvell. And I was just proud and dumb enough simultaneously to question that. And that's a healthy thing at times when it makes you go study to see that that is the truth. Everything that he's given me was in mercy. Everything. Grace is given in mercy. We like to define one as things we don't deserve and the other is not getting what we deserve, and there's nothing wrong with that. But while those things are both true, everything that he's given me was in mercy. We're pitiful, pitiable creatures. And if you know Jesus, you know that. I think that's the first thing he taught me. He quoted John 14 earlier, Brother Bill did, and later on when he said, I'll send you a comforter, if you read a few verses later, he says, I will come to you. Now, do you understand what that means? This man, Christ Jesus, walking on the planet Earth, talking to his disciples, said, I am God. I am the Son, I am the Father, and I am the Holy Ghost. Now, that's not my subject this morning, but I just had to say that. It is a beautiful sight. It's not fair for the preachers to get all the best seats in the house up here at the front where you can hear. Because I started out sitting back there by my dear wife and two members from Marcoma Church, one of our deacons and one of the twin daughters of our former pastor, Elder Cal Kennedy. And if you knew him, you loved him. If you didn't love him, you really didn't know him, or there's something wrong with him. So, it's a good thing to have the gospel. And that, now I'm going to tell you why. Because one of the first things that you're taught by the Holy Spirit when you're born of the Spirit of God
is he will not just teach you this, he will convince you that you're a sinner. Okay? If you're part of that world of John 3:16, if you're part of that world that God so loved, then as soon as he sends his spirit into you, he will convince you that you're a sinner. And where do sinners go? Where are they supposed to go? We sang it in 184.
Right.
If you didn't miss it, Brother Isaac did a great job, great song selection. I love that song. I won't go into that, my nature of flying, but I want to tell you one of my favorite phrases, and that's what I'm going to try to talk to you about just a little while this morning. And shall not come into condemnation. Now, if there's any better news for a sinner, I'd like to hear it. I'm ready. If one of you brethren's got a better message than "and shall not come into condemnation," I'm not saying there's not one, but I don't think I've heard one. You know, Jesus spoke to me one night years ago. I believe long after I'd been born again, but I was in the wrong church. It was not a primitive Baptist church, but it was a church of confusion. And I, as Brother Philip likes to say, I will withhold the name to protect the guilty. That you can have your salvation and lose it. I'm sorry, but your eternal life cannot be longer than your natural life. One of the foundational truths of Scripture is that if you have heard my word and you believe on him that sent me, you are in possession of eternal life. Now I'm going to give it to you in the King James Version. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath. In his hand. He's got it. He has it. He ain't looking for it. He ain't hoping for it some sweet day. He has it. Them's the words of Jesus, not mine. Hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from one condition. Is passed from death. Now he's talking to living, breathing human beings. Okay? He's not talking to graveyard people. He's not talking to people that are underground in a box with a marker above their head. He's talking to people who are dead in their trespasses and in sins. People we sang about in another song that just go their own way by nature, their natural way. But we're going by the way. We're going by the way that he teaches us to go. We're going by the way he says to go. And I don't mean exclusively. I know we've still got that sin nature and sometimes we'll do wrong. That's when it's good to know and shall not come into condemnation. Now many of you may have for a favorite chapter Romans 8. And that's fine with me. You may have another favorite chapter. That's fine. But I want to remind you of how that chapter starts. There's a lot of great doctrine in the second half, but there's a lot of great doctrine in the first half. And if you don't understand verse 9, if you haven't paid attention to verse 9, you probably don't know whether it's temporal or otherwise. It's otherwise. You read verse 9 and you'll learn that, but ye are not in the flesh, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Okay? He's just defined his terms for the entire chapter. But if you start with the very first verse, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And where do you reckon Paul got that doctrinal truth? Let's roll back to John 5:24. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now that dark and rainy night in Van Buren, Arkansas, when the Lord showed me eternal security was true and apostasy was false. I guess apostasy can be true in a temporal sense, but not in an eternal sense. But that's just a theological word. Forget I even said that. I don't know why I went there. But on that dark and rainy night, in the back seat of my brother-in-law's Toyota, he showed me that eternal life was eternal life, and that you're in possession of it if you've been born of the Spirit of God. Folks, if you've ever felt guilty about your sin and wondered whether you're going to hell or not, you've been born of the Spirit of God, because you wouldn't care otherwise. You wouldn't believe there was a heaven or a hell, let alone I'm not going there or whatever. When he has taught you and convinced you that you're a sinner, that's good news. Because that means you're one of those, he said, is passed from death unto life. And the good news is, shall not come into condemnation. There's a chapter in the book of Revelation, and I believe it's the 20th, where he says that they're going to open some books, and they're going to open a book. Now pay attention to the singularity and plurality, because the plurality do not apply to you if you've been born of the Spirit of God. If you're one of those where the books was open, he's going to judge you by your works, and you're not going up. Okay? But if your name is written in that Lamb's book of life, you're going up. And not only that, don't listen to people who say you're going to have to stand before Almighty God and be judged someday. You've already been judged. You've been judged at the cross. And you've been judged, and your fine has been paid. You're not going to have to. God is not unjust. Let me just teach you a fundamental thing about God. He is just. Amen. If Jesus has paid for your sins, you won't have to. That's why there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Well, that's why Jesus could say, and shall not come into condemnation. You've passed. Congratulations. I see a lot of young people here, and it's a thrill to me. I hope after the summer you're going to the next grade and not back to the last grade. No do-overs. Folks, I want to say, there's a reason our just God has made it this way. Now, a long time ago, I worked. And back in the 1900s, there was a good job at Fort Smith called rating. We'd go to work at 5:30 and get off at 2 in the morning. We'd go to work at 5:30 in the afternoon, have lunch at 8, and then get to take a break at 10 and another one at 12, and then we got to go home at 2 a.m. It was a good job because it paid well. And I remember a fellow, and he was one of the sweetest people I ever knew. Him and his wife are devout Christians. We're friends on Facebook. But he was so insecure. Fred was a good rate clerk, but he made mistakes. Guess what? So did all of the rest of us. Okay? None of us were perfect. None of us. Not one of us rate clerks were perfect. We made mistakes. But he was so bound up in fear of making those mistakes that he quit so he wouldn't get fired. He quit one of the best jobs in town out of fear, out of insecurity. Now, why did Jesus tell you, and shall not come into condemnation? So you can get on with your Christian life and live the way you really, truly want to, without fear, without insecurity, without worrying all day, oh my goodness, I've done this, what if I go to hell now? No, don't worry about it. I mean, do the best you can. Be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. That's the Word of God. Do the best you can. People say, well, if I live that way, if I believe that, I'd go out and sin all I want to. Let me tell you, folks, I sin more than I want to. I wish I could get to the point where I sin all I want to, because I want to zero. I want to zero. Okay? And I tell you the story about my friend, because it's come to me so many times since God taught me this truth about eternal life. about being in possession of eternal life, about having a faith. Once upon a time, I stood before Elder James Isaacs at my ordination, and he was questioning the candidate. Y'all know what I mean? I wish we'd start calling that proving the candidate. I just like that better than in interrogating or whatever. Sounds like a criminal on trial or something. When Brother James was proving me, he asked me if I believed in the doctrine of eternal security. And he expected Scripture to back it up. And I used Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 14. And it is the basis and it is the purpose of "and shall not come into condemnation." And the Scripture reads like this: "For by one offering he hath perfected." You try to live perfectly, good for you. Keep trying. But let me tell you first, he hath perfected. By one offering, he hath perfected. He hath perfected. Now, if you want to see what that means really, you go to Deuteronomy 32 where it says, his work is perfect. So he never tried to perfect one of them. He did it. He perfected. "For by one offering he hath perfected them that are sanctified." Now that's a big old 50 cent word. Sanctified. What's that mean? That means you've been set apart for a holy use. Set apart from what? Set apart from them that are not set apart. There's another way to say that. Chosen. He has chosen you. He has elected you. And he's the only one that had a vote. Doesn't matter what anybody else says. If he chose you, you're chosen. If he chose you, you're sanctified. He didn't choose you for condemnation. He chose you for work in his kingdom. He chose you for love. He chose you for being the best you can be. He chose you and put you to a holy work. It's a holy... I don't care if you're... Is it Macy or maybe? Cooking. Meat. Here. There's a family that's barbecuing meat out there. And that's a holy work, feeding God's people. You know what I'm saying?
I thank you
that he didn't choose us all to be preachers. Wouldn't that be dull? You know, he chose some of us to be prayer warriors. When Paul talks about the gifts in the kingdom, he compares them in one, he talks about it in at least two major places. In one of those places, he compares the church body to the human body. Okay? Now, y'all see my hand? See my foot? No, you didn't. There's no foot there. That's a prosthesis. Okay? You can get away with not having a hand or a foot. Okay? But when this old ticker gives out, you can't see my heart, can you? Well, is it a much more valuable gift than the hands that are seen? We're seen, brethren. We're seen. And I'm not saying we're unimportant. I don't want to live without one of my hands. I don't. They're very important. I don't want to live with my eyes. You can see my eyes. Thankfully, they still work some. Well, they're not perfect, obviously. But I want to encourage each of you to go about living your Christian life knowing you shall not come into condemnation. And it's not because of anything that you have done. It is because God sent you His only Son in mercy. Jesus was given in mercy for you. Jesus loves you. And the life that we live should reflect that we appreciate it and we love Him. Thank you for your good attention.